Thank you, Brother Frank. Wonder if y'all noticed something. We've done all hymns today. Amen. It's because it's our 70th anniversary, and we wanted to go back to the classics and remember those. I'd like to welcome Brother Frank. Most of you have heard him preach before, so I'm not going to spend a long time on that, but I've known Frank for years, and he always lets us have it with two barrels. So, all of you, all on you, brother.
All right. Okay. I guess you can hear me. Okay. Well, it's always a pleasure to be here, and I really enjoy this church. You know, I go to different churches and stuff, but really, I really love this church. And like I say, it's a pleasure to be here this morning. Okay? So with that, before we get started, let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this day that you've made, this 70th anniversary here at this church, Lord. And Lord, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for what you've done over the years in this church. And we're thankful for what you're doing in the lives of the ones that are here today. That, Lord, they're not here by accident. And Lord, I just thank you for that. And Lord, be with me today as I give them the message that you've put on my heart today. And Lord, I just thank you for all you're doing, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for everything. And Lord, we just thank you. That's all. And all your many blessings that you give us each and every day that sometimes we take for granted. But Lord, we thank you for all of them, Lord. And we thank you for each other here today. In Jesus' holy, precious name that I pray these things. And all of us say, amen. Amen. All right. Well, the title of my message today is, Does Jesus Know You? That's the title of my message today. And we're going to be looking into Matthew 7, 13 through 27. And so with that, I'm going to begin. I'll give you a couple minutes to, we're going to go to Matthew 7. 13, and then we'll move on down the line a little bit, but I'll give you a few minutes. Okay, it's Matthew 7:13. Okay, say amen when you're ready. Amen. All right, you guys are on the ball. Okay. You can enter God's kingdom only by the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway of life is very narrow and the road is difficult, and only a few find it. You know, I'm going to start out. American Christianity is based more upon godly culture than actually the Word of God. I mean, you hear about people in other countries and different places where, you know, they give their life to Christ, and they're very sincere in their commitment to Christ, because they know that most of the time they're going to die for their faith, or their family member will turn them in and they'll be persecuted. And sometimes by them giving their life to Christ, sometimes their whole family is killed. You know, we take it for granted here in the United States and in this country. But you know, aside from that, there's many people that's deceived. Youth and many adults are deceived in believing that because they prayed a prayer one time in their life or walked an aisle, that they're going to heaven. You know, they got their ticket to heaven. And, you know, an example I can give to that is, you know, if there's a couple that are getting married and the woman says her vows to say I do, and then right after the marriage, she leaves and doesn't come back. You know, but you know, When you look around at others who profess to know Christ and you see that they're just as worldly as the world, they compare themselves by themselves. Okay? And nothing troubles their heart. You know, I watch things on TV I shouldn't. I laugh about the very things that God hates. I wear clothing that is sensual. I talk like the world. I love the music of the world. I love so much that is in the world, but bless God, I'm a Christian. Okay? Why am I a Christian? You know, I don't look any different than most of the people in the church or in the world we live in. And because there was a time in my life when I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart, and he says them dreadful words, "I never knew you." I'm going to read here in Matthew 21 through 23. Okay? "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and we cast out demons in your name, and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" What a dreadful day that would be, you know, because there's a lot of people that, you know, they go to church, they attend maybe Wednesday nights, but they don't truly believe in their heart, and they don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What we need to know is that salvation is by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. And faith alone in Jesus Christ is preceded and followed by repentance. A turning away from sin, a hatred for the things that God hates, and a love for the things that God loves, and a growingness in holiness, not to be like the world, but to be like Jesus Christ. Salvation is achieved through repentance. When there is a turning away from sin and towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. The process involves recognizing one's sin and feeling sorrow for it and making a conscious decision to change one's mind and to follow Jesus Christ. So, compare yourself to Scripture. Compare yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Where it says, "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus the Christ is among you. And if not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. As you test yourselves, I hope you will recognize that we have not failed the test of apostolic authority." Now, the core message, the central theme is self-examination. To confirm one's faith in Jesus Christ. And confirm by the presence of Jesus living in you. So we're to look inward. Sometimes we just got to take a little bit of time. And because I got so many people that tell me, "Well, I don't think I'm saved. You know, I said the sinner's prayer. I did. But I just don't know whether I'm saved or not." And some of these people, you look at them, and I'll get into it a little bit later, but there's no fruit in their life. There's no evidence that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But, you know, it's like getting a physical checkup once in a while. We need to see if the commitment to Christ is genuine. And that the purpose is to be sure that one is in the faith and recognize the presence of Christ in their life. In Romans 12, 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Okay? Don't conform by being molded by the values and pressures and the beliefs of the secular world in this age. Because we need to be transformed from the inside out. Okay? And by the renewing of our mind. Test yourself in the light of Scripture to see if you are in the faith. And I'm going to go on here. There is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, and His name is Jesus Christ. It's 1 Timothy 2:5. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. This is the only way that any human on earth can ever be saved is through Jesus Christ. If you're saved here today, do you know why you're saved? Because when Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, He bore your sin, the sin of God's people, and all the fierce wrath of God that should fall on you fell on His only begotten Son. And I know that most of you are familiar with John 3:16 and 17. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone that believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. There is no judgment against one who believes in Him, but anyone who does not believe in Him already has been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Excuse me. And the judgment is based on the fact that God's light came into the world, but the people loved the darkness more than the light. For their actions were evil, and all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near. It is for the fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so that others can see they are doing what God wants. You know, we need to have people, when they look at us, they see Christ living in us. Amen? But you know, someone had to pay the price. Someone had to die. And it was God the Father who crushed His only begotten Son, according to Isaiah 53. And it says it pleased Yahweh to crush Him. And I'm going to read Isaiah 53, 10 and 11. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush Him and cause Him grief. Yet when His life is made an offering for sin, He will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in His hands. when he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteousness. For he will bear all the sins. He will give him the honor of a victory soldier because he has exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels, and he bore the sins of many and then interceded for the rebels. You know, people say the cross is a sign of how much man is worth, but really, that's not true. The cross is a sign of how depraved we really are. That it took the death of God's own Son. The only thing that could save a people like us was the death of God's own Son. Under the wrath of his Father, paying the price and rising again from the dead. Powerful to save. Amen. And of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, some of you may know, but you know, you can find the gospel of Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you will still stand firm on it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed it on to you what was most important and what had also been passed along to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12, and after that he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, whom of which are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also seen him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after I persecuted God's church. But that spells out the gospel. And the kingdom of God is at hand. And you know, Mark 1:15 tells us to repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Repentance means turning away from sin and the things that separate you from God. It's a change of mind and direction, moving away from a life focused on self and towards God. That's what we need to do. We need to turn towards God. And you say, well, I got saved by praying and asking Jesus into my heart, and I'm sure you did. But you weren't saved by some magic formula or some words you repeated after someone else. You were saved because you repented of your sins and you believed in your heart. And not only did you do that in the past, you will continue to do it till right now. Are you continuing to repent of sin? Are you continuing to believe that he that began a good work in you will finish it? And he will. Yeah. Philippians 1:6 says, I am certain that God who began a good work in you will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. And also, I would say at this time I was told to notify the ones to go to the kitchen. I'm telling you now. But the gospel says not only the gate is narrow, but its path is narrow and difficult. The wide gate is, and the wide gate is broad, and it's easier and popular that leads to destruction. But the narrow gate is difficult, and it leads to life, self-denial, sacrifice. Sometimes we gotta, you know, we look at the way we walk. We look at the way we talk sometimes. Look at the passions of your heart. Is Jesus there somewhere? Or is he just some accessory that you add on in your life? Think about that. Think about it. What is the fruit that you're bearing? We read in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And actually this is the result of the Holy Spirit's work in a believer. There we are. Pages are sticking. Okay. Okay, here we go. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, genuineness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Yeah. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be zealous of one another. The traits are not the result of human effort by one produced. It's produced by the Holy Spirit and those who belong to Christ. These things will be evident in your life. And when you sin, trust me, the Holy Spirit will convict you mightily. He'll let you know when you do something wrong. And then you need to repent. And you should repent as soon as you do that sin, right afterwards. And I know some of us daily repent. Lord, I'm sorry for what I maybe said or did or whatever. Whatever it is, we need to make sure that we repent. But these things will happen in your life if you're a true believer of Jesus Christ. And that's why so many times I talk to a lot of people. And they're no different than the world. They say they're Christians, but you could probably do a survey and go around all the neighborhood and find out that just about everybody's a Christian. But do they go to church? You know, are they of the world? But they're a Christian. And so many times, you know, I used to be a youth pastor, and I'd see a lot of them. And really and truly, when they gave their life to Christ, you really need to nurture them. You need to teach them what they need to do to repent of their sins and to turn around and get into the Word. And if you let them go, they have that false assurance because they said a prayer or something. And then you see them just drift away. You don't see them again. So that's why really the Lord's been working with me about this message. Because I don't want to see any of you miss it. And just because somebody comes to church on Sunday or Wednesdays doesn't mean that they have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you stand before the Lord, even though you've been coming to church, you think you've been living a good life, or somewhat good life that you think by your own standards, okay? And he says them dreadful words, "I never knew you." Does Jesus know you? Jesus calls on his people, those who are on the narrow way, to watch out for those who would teach contrary to the truth. This is a call and a responsibility that must be heard and obeyed for the sake of those who would be led astray. Building a solid foundation, he will never disappoint us, always enabling us to stand firm in the storms of life. So my biggest thing today is examine yourselves. Know that you're one of his. Know that you have Christ living in you. Test yourself. Examine yourself. And when somebody sees you, they see Christ living in you. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this time that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray for the ones that are here, Lord, that we do a self-examination. Lord, that we know that we're yours. And Lord, that we examine ourselves. Is there anything in me that I need to change? Is there anything in my life that I should change, Lord? Help me to do your will. Help me to be that person that you want me to be, Lord. Help me to stand strong, Lord, when things come against me, when the storm comes. Help me to be all that I can be for you, Lord. And more importantly, Lord, that I know that I'm one of yours. That, Lord, when I stand before you, that I hear them words, "Good and faithful servant." I pray this in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen.